Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Plep and pay close attention here.
Stand by.
Because I've got my good friend Dr. McGuire on the phone. But first, a couple of text messages. 708, can't take David H. at 6:30 turning to another channel. It's too bad that you turn to another channel because you missed out on unbelievable money-saving opportunities by energy doctor Ed Krembluszewski. Go to comed.com/savings. And then you got 815. This is why I love WGN listeners. Baskin Robbins is 31 flavors, Donnie, because not everybody has the same taste. Good morning, Dave. Just wanted to thank you for your insight and the way you inspire people and love your show. You're doing a great job. So there.
Look at that. A tale of two viewpoints across two texts.
You flip a coin, Donnie. That's right. Why, you know, and I'm glad they're expressing their feelings because it's Dr. Michael McGuire from Northwestern Lake Forest, a meteorologist, by the way, Donnie, will tell you. Keeping that pent-up anger in, Doc, is not a good thing. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, first of all, happy New Year, David, and happy birthday to you, young man. How are you?
I'm doing good, and thanks for jumping in. My wife came down with COVID while I was here Saturday. I got a text from my beautiful wife, Elise, that she has COVID. I'm like, great. So I immediately looped in my friend Dr. Michael McGuire of Northwestern Lake Forest, and he answered all of her questions, and she's on the mend. So thank you for jumping in there, buddy, and happy new year to you and your beautiful family. So let's talk about health goals here in 2023, Doc. A lot of our listeners are like, physical, schmizzical, why do I need a physical? Why are physicals important, Doc, and should our listeners not blow them off or take them seriously?
You know, healthcare changed with COVID, all right? Everybody decided the best thing to do is stay at home in your house and not go out and not do anything. And now people are showing up, and people are showing up with problems significantly more advanced than they used to be. And so where it's harder to treat it, sometimes we can't treat it, and God forbid in serious situations like cancer, but that there are things that have no signs until they get really bad. And so that the physical is very useful, and it helps. It's a screening tool. It's like checking your credit rating. It's like anything else. It's just something where we can run through and look at everything and just to make sure, hey, everything's good. It take once a year, go in, get checked. It's, you know, rotating your tires and checking your oil.
It's once a year is what you recommend.
Well, I am a urologist, so I'm a specialist in that area. So most primary care physicians recommend once a year, but it all depends on your health and your issues, and that's why you need to see somebody. But if you're in great shape and doing well and everything's good, at least once a year you should go in and be checked.
All right. It's like you said. It's like rotating the tires.
Right. You know, it's just checking to make sure everything's good.
All right. So Donnie is our news guy. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Is a relatively young man, Doctor. How old are you, Donnie?
35.
All right. He just got engaged out in front of a Jimmy John's. Okay. Post a picture, Doc, out in front of a gym. Very romantic picture. Super fast.
Is that where the reception's going to be?
Probably.
Thankfully, no. But maybe catered. Who knows?
Freaky fast, freaky good. So Donnie's a young man in his 30s. When do men have to start going for that dreaded prostate exam? You know, and it's not so dreaded. You know, you and I are buddies. I run over to Glenview. You do the exam in and out. You wash your hands. I go do some things, and we go for a steak dinner. It's not that big of a deal. When should men start seeing their urologist or start getting prostate exams?
So this is something that's been controversial, and that early on that everybody was getting these, and then there were some questions, were we screening too much and stuff like that, and now the pendulum's swinging back. And it's still good to go in and get tested, starting about age 50, if you're a man who has no family history, if you're an African American, if you have family history of prostate cancer, probably starting age 40. That's what I did with myself.
And what is it with the African American community that you recommend that they start getting checked at 40 instead of 50?
genetically, their cancers tend to occur earlier, and that by checking them earlier, we can catch it when it's more likely to be curable.
We've got Dr. McGuire on the line. Doc, we've got 10 minutes left of this segment. I wanted to talk to you about what's going on with these spikes in COVID cases, like my wife came down with. That was a real exciting New Year's Eve. But what's going on with the COVID numbers, and what can our listeners do to protect ourselves?
Well, I think COVID's going to be like the flu, and that, you know, this is going to be around forever, and we're just going to have to deal with it. And you get out, you get in big crowds, you go to Thanksgiving with your family, you go to Christmas with your family, you go to Hanukkah with your family, you're in these big crowds, you're going to be exposed. And the answer is, it is the natural history of COVID, of most of these illnesses, are they get less likely to be a serious illness, just like we talked about with your wife, is that you get it, you get the sniffles, you get this for a couple days, and then now for the vast majority of people, they get better. It's going to be like that. We're just going to have to deal with this the rest of our lives. Is it's going to be here, it's going to be around forever.
Are we over the RSV challenge with all these kids getting sick with RSV? What is RSV, and why are all these kids getting sick, first of all? And are we over the challenge?
So respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, is something, my wife is a pediatrician, and this is something that pediatricians have dealt with for as long as I've been, went to medical school and residency and all that kind of thing. It's something that's been around. Now, it is a virus. Viruses get transmitted from one person to another, and for 3 years we were locked in our homes and not exposed to things. So now that people are going back out to places, we're getting this, and it seems like it's bad, and, you know, I don't look at the numbers for RSV as a urologist, but it is certainly something that we've seen before and see again, and it varies year to year. So this is not unexpected, and it is something that we'll get over.
All right. I want your opinion on some current trends that I'm seeing on Instagram while I'm flipping through Instagram here. There are a couple of influencers, I guess is the right word, that are stressing to eat raw liver, heart, and cow testicles. Is that safe to eat raw? I know you could cook any type of meat, and as long as it's cooked, it's fine. But these influencers, Liver King and another guy, if you will, are recommending that you eat raw meat and raw liver and just raw organs. Is that safe?
No. It's crazy. And you look up, so for any of your listeners who aren't on, you look up Liver King. Liver King looks just like David. All right, that's what David
yeah.
looks like. If you know, he's often on the radio. We don't see him on TV a lot. That's what David looks like when you're in person. But Liver King was just busted for using a whole bunch of steroids.
True.
And things like that.
Right.
So the answer is that this is not the right thing to do. That, yes, you can cook these things. My parents, my grandparents lived through the Depression, and my grandparents used to cook heart and tongue because I'm convinced that was the only protein they had during the Depression, and they were grateful for it. But cook it. You know, raw meat is unsafe. That's, you got to be very careful with that. Be smart, be real, and if you want to eat that stuff, that's fine. You can eat it, but cook it and be safe.
Liver and onions was a staple in my household growing up. It stunk, but and people would make faces. But I grew up eating liver, but my mom fried it in a pan.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a best friend who all they like is cow tongue. Cow tongue by the ton, and it's muscle. It's good food, and it, you know, it's fairly inexpensive usually because they get thrown away. But
yeah.
You know, it's reasonable. It's good food. It's safe if you cook it.
Yeah, tongue sandwiches at the kosher delicatessen was a big sandwich that I grew up on. I grew up eating the pounds of tongue. All right, so. Intermittent fasting. I know that my friends at Soda, that was one of the tenets, if you will, of their program, was to stop eating at 7 o'clock at night and get your 45 minutes of workout and start eating 12 hours later. What are your thoughts on intermittent fasting?
So I think, you know, if you look at big picture, it's too easy in the United States to get calories. We have to control how we get calories. And it's just like your budget, your daily budget. You know, you make so much money in and you put so much money out. Well, we have to control, because it's too easy to sit down and the next thing you know, you've eaten so many calories. So intermittent fasting is a very effective way to make it so that you don't take in so many calories, because you just don't eat that often. excuse me. We don't have any reason to think that it's not a very reasonable thing to do.
One of my partners did it, and he lost 40 pounds on it. He swears by it. Right, he stopped eating at 7 o'clock. He only ate, Doc, between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. He woke up. He had his cup of coffee, black, no cream, no sugar, because he loves coffee. So he had a couple of cups of coffee. Again, just straight black coffee, no cream, no sugar. Went to 11 o'clock. He said he ate like a madman from 11 to 12, and it, I'm sorry, 11 to 7. And the thing that helped him was, there's only so much food you could eat in that 8 hours, that he was always full. So I guess, right, you know, it works. Now, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you.
I got this guy on the radio who says, you know, it's not the rate, it's the payment.
Right.
You know, it's really about, it's how much you eat. And if you don't eat throughout the day, you know, if you only eat once, you're going to eat less.
All right. Now I totally agree. If you and then you fill yourself up, and there's only so much food you could eat, right?
You fill yourself up, you're full, and then you just don't, and you get used to it. I've been doing this for several years, and I do it during the week, and on weekends when I don't do it, I feel worse. I feel much better when I do it. So, you know, I think it's a very reasonable thing, and it's worked for me.
All right, another crazy thing going on that I see on the internet and on Instagram is all of these people sitting for 3 to 4 minutes in a cold tub of freezing cold water. And they're now selling cold tubs, which I guess they sold cold tubs anyway. But now, since I pressed on and watched a cold tub video of some guy up in Canada jumping in when it's 20 below with the wind chill, jumping into ice cold water, I'm getting all of these ads now for cold tubs.
I do this, by the way. I took a cold shower this morning.
Come on! These.
I really do, yeah.
Every morning?
Mostly. I'll take a regular shower, and then at the end I turn the hot water off for like 3 minutes, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
3 minutes, because I'm up to 45 seconds, okay? That's all I could take. Doc?
I had to work up to it, yep.
Is this a thing? Is this good for your body as well?
You know, medically, it makes no sense why it's good. You know, we've known forever athletes have been doing this as part of their recovery. So when you're a world-class athlete like David Hochberg, probably good for you. But for most of us mere mortals out here, I don't see a clear advantage for it. But it can help recovery for athletes, for sure.
Well, Kleppen's an athlete. I don't know of what, but he's definitely... Of chess?
Competitor, that's right.
Competitive chess athlete. So.
Well, it'll help him then, yeah.
Yes. Yay, I knew it.
Well, Chris Hemsworth just came up with a show, and he was training himself to be in the polar water.
Yeah.
For, like, I think it was, well, he had to do a swim, but I thought it was insane how long he was actually in that freezing cold water.
I mean, there's a video of some guy up at the North Pole jumping off an iceberg.
Pretty much.
And jumping in subarctic cold water. I'm like, what are you out of your mind? In his bike shorts. I'm like, I don't know how that's safe. First of all, you know, it's got to be, how do you not get frostbite to begin with, number one? Because all the people standing around, all these people are in, like, thermal gear.
Right.
Okay? I mean, down.
I got frostbite last week walking from the grocery store to my car because I lost my car in the parking lot.
Oh, there you go. So, Doc, in closing here, we got about 10 seconds left in this segment. What quick recommendations, other than going to see your doctor on a yearly basis for a checkup, should our listeners do to have a healthy 2023?
Eat less, exercise more, enjoy your family, give everybody hugs, and enjoy life. And remember, we were only here a short time, and be happy about that.
All right, happy, healthy New Year to you, buddy. Love you. I'll talk to you later.